Give me an answer for that. Who's got the first big story that this handsome man is telling? Can you tell me? What's the big story, the first story? The gospel, the story of God's love. That's well put. Well done. Anybody else put it a different way? I think lots of you got the gospel, didn't you? Yes? And they've written it big on these ones down here. At the front, we've got the character Epaphroditus, handsome man, telling the gospel to people who will hear it. What's the other story? Anybody get the second story? There's another big story. Let's look for another group. Yes, please. What's the second story? Yeah. Say again. I can't hear. So, the Holy Spirit. Okay. I think... Well, let's assume the Holy Spirit is part of the gospel, making the gospel go out, helping people open their eyes and open their ears, okay? So we'll keep that there. There's another story running. Did you find it? What's the other story that he's telling?
He tells Paul about the church.
He tells Paul about the church. That's very interesting, isn't it? I hope you all got that. I'm sure you all did. So there's two stories running. There's the story of the gospel that makes the church, and there's the story of the church that welcomes the gospel. And he is so pleased with what the church is learning and how the church is growing that he goes and tells Paul about it. Now, he is a great communicator. That's what makes him a handsome man. Because he's telling the story in both directions. Who worked out what kind of story that the church was learning? What did he say about the church? That's the second question, isn't it? What's so good about the church that he's speaking about? That he's telling Paul about? What did you find for that? What have we got here? What's so good about this church? Can you tell us? There was one here. Yes, the big one here. I saw the words there. What? Come and hold it up and we'll see them and see if we all agree with this one. Come right. I can see it, but if I stand on my head. All right, everybody stand on their heads and then you'll see it. Come onto the platform. Come and hold it for her, because we need to put her up the right way round. Here we go. Now then, hold it up. Come stand. I need to be able to see it myself. So that's it. Very good. So what's the story he's telling about? Grace. Yes, the gospel. Hope and faith. And one other thing. Love. They really love each other because the gospel is changing them inside out. Their faith is growing. Their love is growing because they've locked on to the hope that God has put in heaven for them. They've got their eyes on the future and they're being transformed and changed from the inside out in the present. Now that's a good story to tell, isn't it? Of course, we know that church is a complicated animal. And sometimes we have other stories to tell. But if you can tell those stories, you'll be in a good position, won't you? And we want to pray later on that those things will be true of this church and the churches around us that will be growing like this. Now, when Paul on the one hand and Timothy and the church on the other, when they hear these stories, what do they do? How did you get on with that? Did you guys, what did they do? When Paul hears the story and Timothy, what do they do? Did you notice that one? Did you get that far? Somebody did. Who did? You did. Yes. They all bear fruit, but especially what did Paul and Timothy do? Yes. They understood that God was at work through his grace. And when they understood that, and when they saw that, when they heard about that, what did they do? Huh? They went out, they praised God, that'll do. They gave thanks, and they tell, and they prayed. They prayed for these Christians in the church, yes? And when the church heard the gospel, the church welcomed it and responded to it. Amen? That's a good start. We've got a little bit more work to do in the second half. Something else? No, you're looking expectantly at me here. But we're going to pray ourselves just now. So make sure you can see the screen
and we're borrowing somebody else's words. We sometimes don't do that. It sometimes helps us very much. And there's a response to this prayer as I lead it for us. And it's praying for all of us in the church that we will receive the gospel and that the gospel will continue to change us so that our love and our faith and our hope and our life outside will bear fruit. All those things will grow. So will you join me in the response to this prayer? We give thanks to God for all his love to us, for birth and life and strength, for safety and shelter and food. We give you thanks, O God, and praise your holy name, for sight and hearing and the beauty of nature, for words and music and the power of thought. We give you thanks, O God, and praise your holy name, for work and leisure and the joy of achieving, for conscience and will and depth of feeling. We give you thanks, O God, and praise your holy name, for grace and truth in Jesus Christ, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and our hope in heaven. We give you thanks, O God, and praise your holy name. Together, we shall not forget that you are our God and we are your people. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing. Only comes three times in the New Testament. Twice in this letter. And by the way, if you're into anagrams, his name comes out as Sharp Ape. Okay? Not only is a handsome man, but he's a sharp ape. And we've seen that he's a sharp communicator. He tells the gospel to the people, and they respond. And then he tells the story of the church to the leaders who are not there and far away and longing to know what is happening. He tells the story both ways of love and faith and hope and growing fruit as this church, along with lots of other churches, starts to grow. So this is why he's a sharp ape. He's telling a great story. But at the end of the letter to Colossians, we get another glimpse of him, and here's where we can do a little bit more work together. Here's what we're told. Epaphras, who is one of you, that tells you where he comes from, he came from within, one of you and a servant, or literally a minister of Christ, Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. So here's what to talk about in our groups for a few minutes now. And I'd like to ask you to do something very special if you're feeling very brave. Maybe you've seen these done before, but people pictures, some call them people sculptures, are stills of what you're trying to say. So I'm going to ask each of you to find someone who's going to be a volunteer and who will come up here and give us a still of how does he pray. We're told in that verse, you could talk about it for a minute. And what does it look like to pray like that? That's the first question. And then the second question is, well, what does he pray for if he prays like that? You can write it, you can draw it, but I particularly want about 10 or a dozen stills. Are you ready? Are you steady? Let's talk. Up onto the step, guys, on the step. Up you come. Oh, I see we're all here. Any more? Any more want to show us? Up you go. Find a space. We're going to count you down, all right? We're going to take this photograph together. 3, 2, 1, flash. Ready? 3, 2, 1, flash. Whoa, they're really wrestling. Yeah. Alan's wrestling in the way of everybody else. Well done, Alan. Here we are. These guys are wrestling together. And you're wrestling. Oh, I see. Yes, look at that face. My word. See the energy in that. Okay. Thank you very much. They're standing. Oh, I see. Ah, right. Thank you very much. Did you catch that? These guys are wrestling, and these guys, as a result, are standing firm. That's good, isn't it? Because that's what we prayed for. Are we standing firm here, or are we wrestling here? You're standing firm. She's wrestling. Very good. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you very much. Pop it on the step for me. So let's see this little summary then. You see, Epaphras is a special guy. A long time ago, he was special to Paul, and he was special to another church and another time in another place. But in a sense, God wants all of us to be like him, because it's not just special people who are servants of Christ and ministers in the church and witnesses in the world. That's the job for all of us. So Epaphras, sharp ape, Mr. Charming, Mr. Handsome, tells the story of the gospel and tells the story of a church that welcomes the gospel. And then he prays like mad. I call it the PLM principle, okay? Pray like mad. He's wrestling, pleading with God that his friends will grow up, that they will be strong and be secure and steady, because there's lots of things going on in their world that can frighten them. Now, actually, Epaphras is such a special guy that he goes visiting to tell Paul this story. And he ends up in the jail because that's where Paul is. So you better be careful when you go visiting. We're going visiting next weekend for a couple of weeks around the Middle East again. So I'm rather hoping I don't end up in the jail. But you better pray for us in case we do. But Epaphras shared with Paul even in the jail. And there and before and after, he prays like mad for his friends to be strong and to be steady and to keep growing in their faith and to keep being fruitful in their faith. Now, we're in a very interesting time as a congregation. We're getting ready. We've nearly finished the profile, the story of the church, the story of how we've responded to the gospel. And when we finish the writing, we're going to put it out there, and we're going to be praying that we'll keep growing and that we'll stay steady, that our faith and our love will grow because of the hope God has for us, that we will be fruitful in our faith and faithful witnesses out and about, so that when someone comes to lead us, when they read about us, they'll be so excited that they'll want to join this church, which is already on the move, because it's communicating like that and it's praying like mad. That's what we want for this next time, and that's what we want to learn together this morning. Remember, at the beginning, we weren't very good communicators, were we? Now we're going to be better communicators, yes? And especially, we're going to join Epaphras and we're going to pray like mad that we'll keep growing, that we'll grow up in Christ, that we'll be strong and steady and secure in our faith, whatever's going on around us. And there are many challenges in our world just now. So maybe a moment of quiet, and then we'll pray this prayer together before we sing our final songs in a moment. I should have said, sorry, yes, just to summarize. Well, we're quiet, forgive me. I found this from a young youth pastor on the other side of the pond commending this letter and going deeper into it. Let's watch and hear this before we pray.
Hey guys, Logan here. I just wanted to do a quick little devotion. As I began to do my own personal study through the book of Colossians, a guy stuck out to me, and it really challenged me. His name is Epaphras, and he's in chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured." Now, they believe that Epaphras was probably the guy who planted the church in Colossians. But also, too, he was so burdened by the church that he interceded that they would know the will of God, that they would stand firm, because the heresies that were trying to come in and creep into the church, he was so burdened enough that he ran to Paul in Rome while he was imprisoned and just said, "Hey, can we set the record straight on this?" And so we also see that he, from what we know, he wasn't arrested, that he voluntarily gave up his own comforts to be with Paul in prison. And he sat there with Paul, we don't know how long, but he gave up his time to be with Paul, to intercede with Paul, and to just bear that burden of Paul's imprisonment. And so I pray that we would all be like an Epaphras, that we would all be burdened for our community and for the lost, for the church at large, and for us to give up our own comforts so that we can bear one another's burdens in Christ. Guys, I pray again that you would be burdened for the lost in your community and for our nation and for our world, that you would be burdened for the church, for your church and for the church at large, and that you would give up your comforts to bear one another's burdens. As I thank you so much. Do yourself a favor. Study the book of Colossians and the supremacy of Christ and guys like Epaphras. Have a great day.
So let's pray again, using someone else's words, but finding them helpful as they shape our prayers with this response together. God, our Father, you give us gifts, so we work together to serve your Son, Jesus. Bless those who lead. May they be strong and true, yet humble before you. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Bless those who teach us. Open our eyes to understand and help all of us to learn your wisdom. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Bless those who administer, help, and organize. May they be diligent and show your kingdom first. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Bless those who pray with us. May they encourage us and always know your healing presence. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Bless those through whom you speak. May they proclaim your word in power and have their ears open to your voice. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. May we as one body grow up into him who is the head of the church, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as our Savior taught us, we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen."